What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the Future of Entrepreneurship, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome to another edition of For Cheddar or Worst, Acme Packing Company's podcast, all about the good. And unfortunately, right now, there seems to be plenty of bad surrounding the Green Bay Packers. I am your host, Chris Burke, joined alongside, as always, by my co-host, Lindsey Hansen. Lindsey, we missed our show last week. The Packers, meanwhile, have gone on a two-game losing streak. But we are kind of going in, we're getting really close to Christmas. So I guess let's just do a vibe check quick.
Yeah, we didn't make it to our podcast last week, and the Packers didn't make it to the game. So it sounds, it's about right.
It checks out.
I can't even say unbelievable, because we have seen this happen time and time again under Joe Barry. I'm sorry, Dingleberry. And it is just the same song and dance. He never learns. He doesn't know how to coach. I don't even know if he knows what defense is. I don't even know if he knows what they do. It is just so hard to watch. Like, where is the team that beat the Lions and the Chiefs, two of the strongest teams in the NFL? They got our hopes up just enough. And then when it really counted, it was like, poof, they all go away.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's not surprising that they did lose to the Buccaneers. It's just how they lost. Baker Mayfield throwing for a perfect game, the equivalent of a perfect game, 158.3 rating. First time that has ever happened by an opposing quarterback in Lambeau Field, by the way. So that is a crime against the franchise. That's a crime against the franchise right there. And that stat right there is like, I'm like, that's going to push Matt over the edge. Like, it has to, right? Nope. Matt pulled the Tammy Wynette and stood by his man. I don't know what else it would take. I mean, it seems to me like he's just too afraid to do it. Like, I don't want to hurt his feelings. This is the National Football League. You fuck your feelings. I'm going to swear. Fine. If they want to bleep me out, they can bleep me out. But it's like, to hell with your feelings. This is the National Football League. It's a business. If you don't perform, like, Lindsey, if you and I don't perform at our day jobs, guess what usually happens? We get fired at some point.
Yeah. And I guarantee you that we don't have as many chances as Joe Barry has had, so.
No, like, in my job, if I had made some of these errors, like the equivalent of some of these errors, I would have been gone much sooner. Much, much sooner.
It is just insane. It's there is no understanding that.
I mean, okay, it's close to the holidays. This is your guy you hired for him. I mean, he's trying to probably be the stand-up guy and not throw him under the bus. But when the players, you can sense this is affecting the locker room a little bit. The comments by Devondre Campbell, and it just the vibes are off. And I mean, Matt LaFleur has done a masterful job in terms of handling the locker room and the vibe and all that. And that is in danger of collapsing just with this move. I feel like we're watching Mike McCarthy again with Dom Capers. And Capers won a Super Bowl, and you can at least defend that. Joe Barry has done nothing but flop around like a wet fish for multiple years, showing just enough to bamboozle LaFleur into thinking he's a legitimate defensive coordinator. There's a reason why he failed in Detroit and Washington, and it's not because they were poverty franchises. It's because he's a poverty defensive coordinator. I mean, what's below great value, Brad? That's Joe Barry. We're going off on a tangent here, folks, but it's this has kind of been the topic du jour amongst Packers circles since last Sunday.
I'm pretty sure.
And it's going to continue to be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that this is not the first time that our listeners have heard this. They've probably said the same things that we're saying. Every Packers fan is 1000% in agreement that Barry should not have a job right now. I honestly, there is nothing that this man can do apparently to lose his job. I mean, he has fucked up over and over and over again and destroyed our chances at winning games over and over and over again. And LaFleur just keeps letting him do it. It's like, at some point, LaFleur is just as responsible, if not more, than Barry. Like, it's just, it's craziness. It's true madness.
Well, this to me, you know, we don't like it when Murphy or Goody kind of cross the line. You know, we like to make sure everybody's in command of their own area. This is one of those points where I almost, this is a hot take here, but this is almost seems like one of those moments where Murphy could be like, Matt, either move on from Joe or we're moving on from you. They just gave him an extension. It's going to cost the team some money, which is why I don't think it'll happen. But is that the kind of intervention we're heading towards? I don't know, but I mean, the writing seems to be on the wall that Barry's going to be done after this year. He sounded like somebody's like, he said during his press conference, yeah, I read everything you guys say about me. I know it's been rough. You know, it's been rough on my family, and he's trying to throw, you know, a little bit of a pity party. And yes, you know, media can be cruel. You know, I will be the first to fully admit that. But, you know, you got to produce results, man. This is results business. And I think, you know, and I think he's, a lot of the rage should be directed at LaFleur. I think you're right, Lindsay. It's terrible because this is just, you know, you're hindering your quarterback's development here. Jordan Love is showing a lot of promise, but he's got to be feeling what Aaron Rodgers felt. He's being handicapped by ineptitude on the defensive side of the ball. And if Aaron and Jordan are texting each other, I'd be willing to bet Aaron's like, dude, I know how you feel. Welcome to the club. You're officially QB1 now. You know, it's a tradition unlike any other. Anyway, so that's kind of, you know, Joe Barry, unfortunately, Matt LaFleur says he's going to continue through the rest of the year. If they come out, we'll talk about the Panthers game here in a minute. If they come out and flop, you know, and pancake and just face plant against the Panthers, I'd be willing to bet that would change. And then Matt LaFleur's seat would probably heat up a little bit because that would put them below 500 for the second year in a row, and you don't, if you get a third season, you're pretty much gone after you're below 500. So Matt LaFleur would officially be on hot seat watch too, I think, with a loss. Not to get fired this year, to be clear, but at least looking at next year. So, whew. Well, now that we got that out of our system, Lindsay, anything else you want to add to that?
That's pretty much the show, right? We'll see you guys next week.
Yep. The other, that's all, folks. You know, that's pretty, no. So we still got a lot to, it's frustrating in the sense that this season held such promise and it's just completely gone off the rails. I mean, the offense did struggle a little bit, but the defense, you know, the Packers were counting on the defense to keep, you know, to keep the team afloat a little bit. And, you know, when the postmortem's written on the season, I think it's going to be a lot of mischances. You know, a lot of this does remind me of 08 with Aaron Rodgers. You know, you had Bob Sanders there who floundered through that year, and McCarthy had the wherewithal to be like, nope, he's out. You know, Bob Sanders was fired. Dom Capers was hired. They won a Super Bowl. Dom Capers' first season, but his second. And Dom Capers is, despite how things ended in Green Bay, he's one of the greatest defensive minds in NFL history. Undoubtedly, when you look at the whole body of work. So maybe that's who the Packers have to go out and get. Not Capers again, to be clear, but they got to do something. And I think he's got to get an established mind. He can't just promote from within like he did on the offensive staff that really hasn't worked out either. So all eyes are going to be on Matt LaFleur with this hire. So, any housers, moving ahead to the Panthers game. So, obviously, outside of the Joe Barry buffoonery, we've got the injury report, which, looking at it, Carolina's got a decent-sized injury report. It's nowhere near the laundry list of the Packers. So already ruled out Devondre Campbell. You know, he made that statement that he's not going to play through injury again, which, you know, given that, it's all things considered. Luke Musgrave still out with a lacerated kidney.
He was removed from IR, though, this week.
Correct. Correct. He's been designated to return, so his 21-day practice window's open. So if the Packers can keep their playoff hopes on life support, that's going to be an option. Darnell Savage is out, you know, and that's kind of a bummer. He played well when he came back, but just could not seem to stay healthy. Then you got, let's see, you got Quay Walker is doubtful. I'm sorry, Christian Watson is doubtful, not Quay Walker. I'm reading in orders here. Devontae Wicks is questionable. TJ Slayton, questionable. Jaden Reed is questionable. And so Rudy Ford's questionable. AJ Dillon is questionable. And so is Jair Alexander. Yeah. All limited participants. So once again, it feels like we're beating a dead horse here, but it's kind of going to be wait and see on those injuries.
Yeah, it's just been the story of the season. I don't think we've ever had a game where we haven't had at least, you know, a handful of our starters out with injuries. It's just been relentless this season, I feel like. And at the time when we need our starters and we need our veterans the most, it feels like we can't get that. We can't get there. And it's a little bit of a bummer because obviously their health is priority and it just sucks that they're injured. Especially like Alexander, he's been out for so long at this point. And he like, it just, it's a bummer, right? And we just got Jones back after a long stretch. Like it's just the story of the season. It just sucks.
And Jair Alexander has missed 6 games in a row now, and he was not put on injured reserve. So that's creating all sorts of conspiracy theories. I just think he can't play. I just think he's not healthy enough to play. I don't think there's any, behind the scenes drama right there at all.
No.
If it's him against Barry, I'm siding with Jair automatically because, there's no room for that level of incompetence, and I am not going down that road again, I swear. So that's kind of where we are on injuries. One last look back at the Bucs. We covered all the bullshit with Barry. You know, Matt LaFleur has come under attack. Just saying that again, he's feeling the heat right now that he's going to have to make a move, or he is going to find himself out in that hot seat next year. You know, if the Packers are sitting at 6-8 at this point next year, and he's still got Joe Barry on staff, I think Barry and LaFleur both get kicked to the curb, but I don't see that happening at this point. I think that would be absolutely foolish and reckless on Matt LaFleur's part. But only other note I really had from the Buccaneers game, Jordan Love looked a little better. You know, they got the lead with 1:30, and then Tampa Bay went right down the field because the Packers defense just curled up in a fetal position and started sucking their thumb like an infant. Taking the mindset of their defensive coordinator, who's about as intelligent as an infant. Here we go again. But it's just, you know, the only other note I have is they went away from Aaron Jones a little bit there. And I would normally not pay that any mind because he came back from being hurt. But Matt LaFleur has had a tendency to do that.
Yep.
So just maybe something to just keep in mind on the way there. Jones was running pretty well.
Exactly. He had such a strong start. They were using him. And then all of a sudden, no more. They didn't use him like at all after that starting.
Yeah. It's a very McCarthy-like tendency. And shout out to Mike McCarthy, by the way, for making the playoffs in Dallas. Very happy to see him succeed. Glad he's well after that appendix surgery. But all the reports pregame was that he was going to be out of pitch count, so that's what I'm chalking it up to. If Jones goes again this week, Aaron Jones right now has no injury designation, so he's set to go, although he was a limited participant in practice on Friday. That's going to be a little more concerning if he can't go against Carolina. So,
yeah, I mean, literally the Packers, they have had the easiest schedule over the last 5 weeks of the season, or they have the easiest schedule over the last 5 weeks of the season. Yet they've come out 0-2 at the start of the first five, at the first of those, like that stretch, right?
Yep.
And their playoff odds dropped by over 50%, according to the New York Times playoff machine.
Playoffs.
Us.
And according to that, we literally just sit at a 25% chance going into this week. And like, if we lose to the Panthers, we said it before, but if we lose to the Panthers, it will end. That's the end of our season. And nothing else. These other games are just, they don't matter. They're practice for them. Like, it is such a vast difference from where we were just a couple of weeks ago. I don't understand how we went from that to this. It's just, it is a wild, wild season. And I'm, my confidence is just waving just based on the decisions that these people are making in the organization. I'm like, okay, well, I feel like this season is just done at this point.
It pretty much, you know, mathematically is, but stranger things have happened. And if Green Bay gets into the playoffs, I don't think we're fooling anybody that they're probably not going anywhere.
God,
but
no.
But that would be one heck of a feather in the cap for this season. And I hope that
especially
doesn't.
Love. I mean, it'd be cool for Love to be able to say, like, hell yeah, I helped lead this team to playoffs in the first.
But I forgot where I read it, but there's a lot of Packers fans out there, and I'd be willing to bet it might even be a majority at this point. You know, I might be stretching there. There's a lot that would say, you know, we'd rather lose out and change our defensive coordinator, because if they win out and somehow sneak into the playoffs, Matt LaFleur might be delusional enough to bring Putsy McGee back again. So I don't know what that's, you know, that's, I think that's kind of what we might just have to sacrifice the rest of the season, you know, in the long-term vision of the franchise. So yeah. So let's go ahead and look at Carolina, who is, you think the Packers are bad. Oof. Carolina is terrible. Lindsay, you want to take us through what we think could go right this week?
Yeah. So, Carolina is a very bad football team. If the Packers actually show up and play, I mean, honestly, almost everything could go right in this scenario. The Panthers rank near the league bottom in composite rigs for both pass and run blocking. Adam Thielen, the guy who he used to be a Viking, has 112 targets this season with only two drops, but he hasn't averaged under 10 yards per reception. Jonathan Mingo is second on the team in targets and has a 49% catch rate and ranks 114th out of 120 receivers in adjusted yards per route. They have no weapons. They have, and we'll touch on this in a little bit, but like Bryce Young, I mean, they don't have a strong quarterback. They don't really have much of anything at all. And yet, I don't know if this Packers team can beat them. It's a wild feeling. This is truly one of the worst teams in the NFL, and I'm not sure that that's even going to matter.
Yeah, I think, you know, that Giants game broke everybody, I think. And then especially coming out after that, you know, oh, they've slept on the Giants, okay, and then to come out and face plan against the Buccaneers, you know, just a bummer. But I agree with everything. You know, they are a horrible football team. Bryce Young is going through it. You know, I liked him as a prospect, but you know, with him with Frank Reich, I'm like, okay, maybe that's something to be there. Well, Frank Reich didn't even make it through a first season. So I just, this is a game Green Bay should win. We don't kind of need to go totally through all the Carolina stats. Obviously, you know, a 2-12 record speaks for itself. They won 9-7 last week against Atlanta, which
yeah,
apparently has put Arthur Smith on the hot seat in Atlanta now. So You know, Matt LaFleur should probably take a lesson on that. You got to win by more than 2 points this week, Maddie. But yeah, this is a bad football team. And if there is such a chance as a get right game for the Packers to at least go down swinging in terms of a playoff hunt, you know, this has got to be it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, you know, like Bryce Young is, he ranks 35th of 38. In of the QBs, and let's see. Okay, so hold on. Young ranks 35th of 38, with at least 150 dropbacks in EPA per play, ahead of Zach Wilson, Tommy DeVito, and Daniel Jones. Tommy DeVito is the guy that we were not worried about. You know, he's not a strong QB. He's a third string QB. We really thought that our defense could pull something together enough to stop him. We weren't able to do that. And they also gave him a career game. Like, they gave DeVito a career game when they played him. Like, that's how bad we played. And so the fact that Bryce Young is not good is unfortunately Nolan. It doesn't matter, because we've seen that just, you know, not matter. it's maddening. It's so hard to watch these games when it's just like so many just rookie mistakes that at this point in the season we shouldn't be making. I get that we have a team of, you know, a very, very young team. And I get that. There is, like, I understand. But at the same time, we're making mistakes that we should have learned from at the top of the season. We're doing things, even our veterans, like, It's a weird, weird ass season. And I really thought we were turning things around, you know, that month stretch that we had that was just like so much fun. It was so much fun to watch. We don't have that anymore. That's gone. And so having a QB as bad as Bryce Young does not evoke any confidence in me, unfortunately. And I wish it did. This is the what could go well section, and I'm trying to be optimistic, but I'm also, I'm frustrated.
Yeah, I think, you know, the defense is going to have to, I think they're going to at least put a better performance on tape. It's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be that bad. Like, they've got to put this on tape. Otherwise, this is going to look bad on the players too. There's a lot of resources there, and there's a lot of decisions Brian Gutekunst is going to have to make. And I think, you know, they're going to have to make, they'll put a better performance on tape. Whether or not it's enough to beat them, I don't know. That's, you know, as long as the offense doesn't completely lay an egg. Yeah. But it's Young has struggled badly. I still think there might be hope for him. If the next head coach hire is going to be critical for him, to get somebody to develop him. So,
but he needs weapons. He doesn't have any. So it's not entirely
correct.
You know, not just him, but yeah, he's still, without that, he is still, like, he's not good. So
yeah, you've got a worn down Adam Thielen playing right now, so that is not a good wide receiver one target. Even if Thielen is still pretty good, I just don't think it's a obviously not a wise choice to be your primary receiver there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Carolina, they're definitely a poverty franchise. They have only scored more than 20 points, three times this season. And like you said, against the Falcons, it was 7-9. That was the score. That was the final score in an NFL game. And, so honestly, we have the potential, especially to beat the Panthers. We do have potential in this team. We just have to find it again. Like, to be fair to the offense, we've climbed our way back last week. in the fourth quarter, and we gave ourselves a fighting chance. And then Joe Barry did what he does, and it ruined the game for us, ruined those chances. But we did see that happen. We saw that potential, and we saw that goodness that they do have, because they do have it. It's just about cultivating it and actually turning it into action, like actually being consistent with that.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about the Green Bay offense at all. It's all about the defense at this point. Jordan Love has shown enough for me to think, okay, we can build on this going forward.
Yeah,
this is this. The evaluation period has now suddenly gone from Jordan Love to all of a sudden now is this game about evaluating defensive talent. You know, the not quite the narrative turn I saw the season going taking, but here we are.
Yeah.
And you know, yeah, and the other thing, you know, so Carolina is the penultimate, is the ultimate poverty franchise right now. I mean, did you see any of the photos from their kickoff at the kickoff? I mean, tickets at one point were going for like 45 cents. You barely
what?
Had enough PP. There were, yeah, it's bad.
Holy cow.
I have never seen NFL franchise, even Detroit, when they were down bad, was not going that cheap. You've got the new Dan Snyder there in terms of the meddling owner with David Tepper. Let me see if I can find that quick. I couldn't believe that. I had to make sure I wasn't reading The Onion, actually. Why is that not? It's, yeah, I don't want it. I mean, I would love cheap tickets for this week's game, but 45 cent tickets. I want to say it was around 45.
I've never heard of that
Yep.
in my entire
Yep.
life. That's
Yep. 45 second.
Crazy.
Less than a dollar.
You can't get a gumball for your 45 cents.
Nope. You can get into an 11. And you can get into an alleged NFL stadium.
Yeah.
When you saw how empty that stadium
oh,
was, it just.
Oh my God.
I mean,
wow.
That's one where that's just. I mean, Roger Goodell could easily call it an airstrike on that stadium and just have it raised. Just it's bad. I mean, this is how bad, down bad this franchise is, everybody. When I talk about a poverty franchise, Carolina might be worse. I don't know what else to call it. I don't know what goes below poverty. An extinct franchise? I don't know. A dead franchise? I have no idea, but what it's
beyond.
What it's a sub-poverty franchise at this point. It's the fans out there deserve better. They really do.
Damn. Wow. That's rough. All right, guys. Well, with that, my mind is blown. So I'm gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back with what could go wrong on Sunday, and we will be right back.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship of Prop G Pod, special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity. But giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's Sylvan29.com. Packers29.com.
All right, so here's what we think could go wrong. No need to, again, massage statistics here, recite numbers too much. Carolina's garbage. We know that. The main things that could tank Green Bay this week are kind of more, well, there's maybe one strategic option there, but the other two are really mental or cultural issues. One we really touched upon at the beginning of the show is, are there fractures in the Packers locker room over Joe Barry's continued employment? We mentioned Devondre Campbell saying he's not going to play through injury anymore. Apparently there's concern that Jaire Alexander nuked his socials, but I think that just might be something else. Not that we're playing into that injury conspiracy theory, mind you. I just think that might just be him focusing on rehab. I'm not sure. But you know, that's just my concern, is that the locker room vibe that Matt LaFleur did such a good job with over the past, you know, 1925, past 4 years, four plus, is about to come undone by continuing to keep him employed. But if the defense is kind of going to go out and, do I want to call it an active insubordination, you know, and I don't know. These guys are professionals. They want to win. But, you know, you have to wonder, are there fractures in the locker room over that? Is that going to cause problems on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, like, so he did a recent presser and was, you know, obviously asked a lot of pointed questions because he is on the hot seat. And when he was asked something along those lines, he said, "I've never felt anything but that group of men that I get to coach every single day, not coming in and giving me every single thing that they have. I've never felt that for a minute." I honestly, like, at this point, like, take that with a grain of salt, right? Because if I were those players, if I was a NFL player who worked their entire life to get to be where they are, and I was under the quote unquote leadership of somebody like Barry, I sure as hell would not have any confidence in him. I would not have any confidence in my coach. I would question my head coach's decision to keep him on. And it would absolutely and naturally, like, cause concern and question. And, like, I wouldn't blame these guys for one second if they were feeling some type of way. I really don't think that there is any other solution than to kick Barry out and get someone else in that they can actually respect. Like, Joe Barry has done nothing to earn their respect as of late. Like, why would they? He hasn't given them any reason to. And that's just my opinion. I don't know. Yeah, I'm also very bitter over Barry. So.
Yeah, and it's, you know, Matt LaFleur did bring something up, and the more I thought about it, he actually has a point. He didn't quite say it in so many words, but it was kind of like, well, okay, if I fire him, who's going to call the defense? I don't have anybody that can be on the sidelines that can call the defense. And I'm right. Like, and that's pathetic right there. That's on Joe and Matt in terms of hiring assistants that can effectively run a sideline. You got to have a plan for that. Yeah. Just no, really. I mean, Jerry Gray would have been, I suggested on Twitter last week that, oh, hey, Jerry Gray would be a great, completely forgetting he left the team. Which, you know, that maybe, I hate to point to that being part of the problem, but it could be. It's just, he's toast. I mean, he's gotta be toast. And, you know, the guys are professionals, and I hope they do the right thing. But, you know, at this point, they're just rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic.
They're professionals, but they're also human, you know?
Correct. So the one stat I kind of want to get to here is, you know, the one thing I've got one concern about with the Carolina offense is Bryce Young and his legs. You know, this is probably some aftershocks of the Tommy DeVito game a couple weeks ago. Young didn't play rush real well against Atlanta, but the week before, in a 28-6 loss to the Saints, three carries, 40 yards for 13.3 per carry. The other one was his other big rushing, if ESPN would cooperate with me, You know, he had 3 for 23 against the, yeah, I'm looking at his stats here. So he's had two games where he's averaged over 10 yards per rush, 3 for 40 yards against New Orleans. And then week two, he only had 2 carries for 34 yards with the longest of 26. I mean, he does have some legs, and I have no confidence that if he does take off, that Barry's going to be able to adapt quick enough. If he does, I'll be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it's no secret across the NFL that, the Green Bay Packers can't stop the run. And then you add on the incompetence of who's at the helm of that defense, and it just makes a perfect recipe for every other opponent to literally run all over us because they can. And, you know, I'm really not too worried about Young, but yes, on the ground, it's, you know, it's a little bit of a different story. But I just, if our defense can't stop, I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll see what happens, obviously. But there's just really, really no way of knowing which Packers defense shows up.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what this game's really going to come down to, even if Green Bay's defense plays bad, they should still be able to win this game. But who the heck knows at this point? So the last thing I got here, and I hate to say I was proven right the last 2 weeks. I was a concern I had aired going ahead of the Giants game, and unfortunately I feel like it's panned out. It's kind of overlooking the opponent / playing down to the opponent's level. Green Bay handled everything Kansas City threw at them, and that's to their credit. But all of a sudden against the Giants and the Bucks, they've not looked so hot. So they have, it's a habit of a very young team. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not something that's just something that's going to have to come with experience. You know, when you're a good winning football team, you got to act like it, but not also let that success go to your head that you think you can just walk all over everybody. You know, that's the concern I've got here, is that they're just going to overlook them. They're going to look ahead to the Vikings the following week.
Right.
And forget to take care of this. I mean, it sounds like such a cliche thing, but it does happen. And, you know, that's my concern, that that could tank the Packers this weekend.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's really much more to say than that. I am in complete agreement. We've seen it happen, and it's really frustrating because, yeah, it's just, this is the NFL. You have to show up for every single game. Just because you win a few does not mean that you are, you know, impervious to getting your ass kicked by a seemingly lesser team. Like, that's just not the way it works.
100%. You gotta, when you're the better team, you know, good teams are supposed to dominate bad teams. They don't play, if you're playing level with a bad team, you're not a good team. You're kind of mediocre.
Exactly.
You're kind of a mediocre team. And I think that's just, you know, I think that sums up the Packers this year. I mean, the record is probably pretty close to what we thought it would be. Maybe how they got there wasn't the way we thought it would go, but yeah, it's, they gotta win this game. I mean, if they don't win this game, our next podcast is going to be off the rails. If there's going to be profanity, and 2023 will be going out with it'll be a bang from a few F bombs. Let's put it that way. Maybe booms instead of bangs. But, so let's go ahead and wrap this up here. Predictions for the game. Lindsay, I'll let you go first again.
Yeah. So, I am going to go with the Packers on this one. I don't think that it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't think that it's going to be a blowout by this Packers team. Unfortunately, I just don't. But I do think that we have it in us to win, especially against this Panthers team. So my prediction is 17-6 Packers.
Ooh.
That's what I'm going with. That's what I'm feeling.
So I did my five questions with Cat Scratch Fever, our sister site today. I went with Green Bay 27-10. I'm feeling a little better about it, but I don't think you're going to see points come in chunks. I think you're going to see it spread out like maybe 7-7, 7-6 in terms of the four quarters. And I think it's going to be Carolina's going to be in it enough that it's just going to be enough to make us nervous. And maybe Green Bay pulls away in the second half. I feel a little more confident about this one, but I say that with, you know, I thought about revising it down to like maybe 23-20, 20-17. This is not a game that all slam dunk. You know, I don't feel that way at all. I'm actually going to be nervous Sunday afternoon watching this, you know, as everybody's getting ready to travel. So yeah, we're both picking the Packers. That's come back to bite us in the past. You know, maybe I should have picked Carolina. I don't know, but, excuse me.
Yeah. We'll see. We will see, but I just don't think it's going to be. Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty low scoring, pretty hard to watch still, but I do think we're going to come away with it.
Yeah, and on that nervous and slightly negative vibe, I think we both want to end the show outside of a normal Go Pack Go, obviously. I want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Hopefully everybody's spending some time with some loved ones, or you're doing something to at least bring yourself some joy. Because unfortunately, watching the Packers
besides football, watching that the Packers, ain't it.
yeah, and Lindsay, my Slack just went off with a very clever Christmas carol.
Yes, we are going to sing our way out of this episode, guys. It is the holidays after all, so
I will let you. You can probably hear it. My voice is fading.
Have a good singing voice, so I am just fair warning, guys. You can turn it off now if you don't want to hear a terrible singing voice.
Still better than Nickelback, still better than Wham. You know, everybody tries to avoid that.
Depends on who you ask.
Okay.
You ready?
Not at all.
It's very short. But
it is very short. It's God, I wish I had a harmonica to tune, but you want to count it down?
Three. Let's
start on the right note.
Two, one. Jingle.
Jingleberry. Jingleberry.
Berry.
Berry. Go away.
Oh, how fun. It's not,
to watch your
players play.
Hey, oh boy.
Hey. Jingleberry, jingle.
Should that be Dingleberry? Wait. Lindsay, you messed up the rhyme. I think it's supposed to be Dingleberry we've been calling him.
Dingleberry, Dingleberry. Jingle all the way.
Oh God. No, more like ding dangle all the way. Good God.
Yeah. Gotta have some fun with our pain, right?
Oh God. I mean, that, you know, I should have brought this up at the beginning. When the Onion is making fun of your defense.
Oh, that was the funniest. That was the funniest thing. I laughed so hard out loud. I was like, okay, touche. Touche.
But yeah, the Onion's making fun of your defense. If that didn't push Matt, I mean, I wanted to walk up to Matt LaFleur and just decked him in the back of the head. Like, dude, come on. This is humiliating now. Like that should have been the straw that broke the camel's back, but
so
Matt LaFleur is foolish if not loyal. So anyway, everybody, again, happy holidays. And
hope
as
you loved
always,
our carol.
Yeah, with normally
sing I've, along I've been, with your family and friends this holiday.
yeah. Hopefully we're not singing something different with Auld Lang Syne next week for New Year's Eve, but, all right, everyone. So enough of our rambling nonsense here. So take care, everyone. Happy holidays and go Pack Go, except for Joe Barry.
Happy
holidays. He can go to Go
he
Pack
can go,
go
away.
Joe Barry can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. Yeah.
Go Pack Go Barry away. Go away, Barry.
There we go. Yep, exactly.
All right, guys. Go Pack Go. Happy holidays. We'll see you here next week. Bye.
What does it take to be an entrepreneur, and how is it changing in our ever-evolving business landscape? This is Scott Galloway, host of the Prop G Podcast and an entrepreneur myself. Right now, we've got a special three-part series running all about the future of entrepreneurship. We're answering your questions on work-life balance, how to raise capital for your business, and more. Because when you're an entrepreneur, it's always important to look ahead at what's to come. So tune in to the future of entrepreneurship of Prop G Pod, special sponsored by Mercury. You can find it on the Prop G Pod feed or wherever you get your podcasts.